Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership. Let's come aboard.
Happy Friday to you, North America. The mothership has connected. Welcome aboard. It's the 4-Hour Chaos Theory Kegger. DA with you from the CBS Sports Radio studios in New York, broadcasting to affiliates nationwide and north of the border. Anchorage to Atlanta, Wisconsin to Washington, Kalamazoo and Waterloo. We are on the air.
They listening, D.A. Everything we saying, D.A. Everything.
And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, guess what? Rocket can. We have done it. Celebrate, boys and girls. It's Friday. Coming up this morning on the show, the final da of the work week. We've got Dan Shaughnessy, Boston Globe. He's always awesome, always opinionated. A lot of stuff always going on in Boston. Will the Celtics ever turn it around this regular season, or has this entire year been doomed in Celtics land? Also, a lot of off-season Patriots questions and those Red Sox uniforms. Yellow, light blue. What is that? Dano is going to join us coming up on the show. Hour number three. Hour number four. Do you remember the name Rulon Gardner? He was a gold medal wrestler in the 2000 Olympics in Sydney. Also won a bronze in 2004 in Athens. Rulon Gardner's amazing story of wrestling as an Olympian and a life in the game is going to join us on the show in hour number four. It's also a Target Demo Friday, meaning we want to know where you are, how you're listening, and what you're up to. Now, we have to wait for the secret clue, that secret clue being whatever comes out of the criminal mastermind that is the Wizard of Watch DA, Andrew Kaplan. When the meme drops is when you drop the knowledge, and we will read those coming up on the show in hour number four. Elsewhere this morning, Trevor Bauer, big personality, big mouth, doctored baseballs. Uh-oh, Kellen Mond, of all people, rising in the draft. You'll never believe how high the A&M quarterback might end up going in this NFL draft. Mets and Marlins, an opening day at Citi Field, controversial ending. One former Pro Bowler believes Bill Belichick's on the hot seat. And Juju Smith-Schuster chose poorly. Young Jedi, you chose poorly. All of that coming up this morning on the show. Now, if that sounds good to you, any topics you're like, oh man, yeah, I want in on that, hit me up on the phone at 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. Or on Twitter, you can connect with me, DA on CBS. Again, that's DA on CBS on Twitter. Let's begin with an NFL draft story. about Najee Harris. The Alabama running back is the best running back in this draft and will likely be taken in the first round. Now, perhaps end of the first round, but Najee is poised to become the first running back off the board. Just a couple of weeks ago, we were applauding Najee Harris on this show because Najee didn't have to attend Pro Day for Alabama. He was not partaking in it, but his teammates were. His flight was canceled out of Dallas-Fort Worth because of storms, and instead of just packing it in and watching on his phone or texting his buddies, instead he drove there. 8 hours, he drove to Pro Day just to make sure he was there to support his guys. So Najee has proven to have a high character and be of the team. Todd McShay is a renowned NFL draft analyst, and Todd McShay had said recently that he had Najee Harris, really good player, worthy of a first-round draft pick, had improved in pass catching as well, and so there were very few things to pick apart for Najee's potential. However, Harris did not like this. He did not like the inference that his pass catching wasn't good to begin with. And he said, I didn't get enough chances to even do it. So how could you say I improved? Watch some film, check out the games, and went after Todd McShay. And this has led to an interesting conversation around the draft world. Was McShay out of line, or is Najee being too sensitive? It is where we begin your cold open.
I think there's too many people that follow each other. Where was everybody in January saying Mac Jones was going to be the third overall pick in the draft, or he should be the third overall pick in the draft? But now one guy says it, 2, 4, 8, 16, Mac Jones be the third pick in the draft. I don't agree with it. And just because Kyle Shanahan says it doesn't mean you have to agree with it. He's been wrong too. Look at his record with his quarterbacks. Everybody says he wins all the time. It's not been great. And here's one more. If he had run the ball twice in the Super Bowl with the Falcons, he'd have a ring on his finger. So he's not perfect either. So these guys are not beyond criticism. And I think sometimes we look at a draft process and say, oh, you can't criticize that guy, can't criticize that guy, can't criticize this team. Yes, you can. That's part of the job, and that's why we do it.
I don't believe it!
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heartrending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes.
It's your cold open.
That was Pete Frisco, CBS Sports senior NFL analyst, and he joined us yesterday on the show, and I highly encourage you to go back and listen to my conversation with Pete. It was in hour number 4. He was so good. He was so fired up. He had so many good points to make. And if you're a draft fan, if you're an NFL fan and you are savoring this draft coverage, it's a really good look at what is right, what is wrong, how you do it, what to trust, things like that. And when it comes to Najee Harris, let me just clarify exactly what Todd McShay said about him. He said, quote, Harris has excellent size, decent top-end speed. He was a much more decisive runner as a senior, showing oily hips even for a big back and playing light on his feet. He gets in and out of breaks quickly, has excellent ball security. He's slippery as a runner between the tackles, but he has acceleration limitations. Harris showed tremendous improvement as a pass catcher in 2020 with big catches, big catch radius, and an ability to adjust to balls thrown outside his frame. He also shows good aggressiveness in pass protection. Najee did not like this. Najee said, how is he going to say he showed better production pass catching? I did not play my freshman or sophomore years, rarely ever. I didn't have an opportunity to show I could catch. It's not because I can't. It's because I wasn't in the game to show people I could. So let's stop looking at the stat sheet and watch the game. Najee would go on to say, in no uncertain terms, quote, Todd McShay can kiss my ass. Oh my, fireworks. Now this seems to be Najee Harris being remarkably sensitive about his draft analysis, because there's almost nothing there for McShay that doesn't sound incredibly positive. I mean, he did say he's got acceleration limitations. If I'm Najee, that's the thing I'm upset about. Quote, he showed tremendous improvement as a pass catcher is really hard to take as a slight. So here's what I would say to Najee. Look, I don't question you've got really good interests at heart. You showed that by your pro day decision to drive there, even though you were not partaking. On the football field, you've been an amazing back. You'll be the first back taken off the board. If you want to use these types of things as motivation, that's up to you. Every athlete, every person can use whatever they want to better themselves. Hey, that's your bit. That's your toolbox. Tom Brady still is using nobody believes in me, even though everybody believes in him all of the time because he's won 7 Super Bowls. He is considered the greatest of all time, and yet Brady will still say, nobody thinks I can do it because there's 5 or 6 people on social media that he will, or his hype team, will cultivate in their tweets, like a Mraz tweet, put that together into some type of B-roll and say, see, nobody believes in me. Whatever floats your boat, whatever gets you to the next level, whatever you think you need to do to make sure you are at your highest peak. If Najee uses this to work harder and become a better back, hey, more power to you. But we can't act as though Todd McShay here is out of line. Because if this analysis is out of line, then let's throw all NFL draft analysis out the window. If you can't say he showed tremendous improvement without bothering the player, somehow that's unfair, give me a break. This is far from unfair. And this is what we were talking about with Prisco yesterday. Are you allowed to be negative? Are you allowed to be critical? Or is that unfair? Is that outside the bounds? And I think it is fair. It's just that you should make sure you study your tape. You should make sure you talk to your sources. If you're going to talk about something that sources say, anonymous scouts say, if that's the case, like Dan Orlovsky said about the work ethic of Justin Fields, you better be certain you're comfortable going public with that and you've done your due diligence. If you are, then you should have no problem going forward and not to be bullied by Kirk Herbstreit into basically crying in a corner into a camera. I'm sorry, I didn't do my due diligence. He's actually a really hard worker. It was so wimpy by Orlovsky to sit in that corner, look into that phone and be like, oh, I'm scared. A Blair Witch Project. But on the same token, if you feel like you need to be critical of a draftee, that's fine. Not every kid is going to be drafted and is going to be a star. And that's the thing. Me and Mraz have talked about this series by NFL Network and NFL Films that we have both gotten into over the last couple of months called Caught in the Draft. And NFL Films has gone back and studied specific draft classes, draft years, and dissected almost every pick in the first round, and then many other big names or swing and misses or swing and hits in later rounds, or even undrafted swings or misses. And what it tells you and illuminates is every year, all we do is bang the drum for all of these guys. I mean, inevitably, 90% of these guys will get this type of analysis from the commentators or the people on Twitter or the journalists, what have you. Great pick, franchise changer, should be there 8 to 10 years, perennial Pro Bowl guy. This guy changes the culture. He can really get after it. I think the team got a great player where they did. That's good value here. That's a smart pickup. I like what the front office is doing. I see what they see here. That's 90% of the analysis. And there is no way 90% of that analysis is right because there is so many busts. We pump up everybody, and only a handful of guys really end up soaring. So it's okay to be critical, and this is far from critical, that Najee showed tremendous potential or tremendous improvement. That's not that critical. I would say if you're the players, hey man, you're going to hear worse than this, so just get ready, strap up. Because once you actually get drafted in the first round and then you don't produce, showing tremendous improvement is going to be, it's going to feel like child's play. If you're a player just finding anything for motivation or wanted to help out your draft stock because this is money in your pocket, totally get it. Fine, that's up to you. But it is also up to the media members to be as honest with an assessment as possible without worrying about being bullied into making sure everything is glowing. 855-212-4CBS or on Twitter, DA on CBS. Mraz, did you find Todd McShay's analysis of Najee Harris maybe a little too critical? Is Najee right here?
No, Najee could be more wrong. What was critical about it? He analyzed it obvious, and even the thing that Najee thought was negative wasn't really negative. Todd McShay is giving him credit for improvement on tape. And the NFL is not going to be as easy as Alabama. And it's not to say Najee Harris can't be great, but this is about to be the most difficult time in Najee Harris's football career from the time he was a little kid to now, is playing at this NFL level. And times might get tough as a running back, potentially a first-round running back. And if this is the type of thing that's going to offend him and he can't take criticism, man, he better not end up at a big media market and have a couple-game slump where the team is losing as a first-round pick, because there'll be a lot more heat on him than saying he's improved as a pass catcher.
So too sensitive from Najee Harris.
Very too sensitive.
Does that worry you? Would you not draft him because of that?
I wouldn't not draft him because of that. No, if he's still the best running back there and it's
still
got to
take him.
You still got to take him, but I am at least now more cautious if I am a team in a big media market.
Really?
I am.
It doesn't move me off my spot with Najee Harris. It's just like, dude, just make sure that if this is what bothers you, that you are ready for much, much worse
right.
when it comes into your NFL career, especially if you're the number one back taken off the board, then those expectations are going to be pretty high about you being the best back in this draft then. A lot to get to this morning on the show and more NFL draft analysis. But when we come back here on the show, a little sound check, your best audio of the day. That includes Tommy Fleetwood and a hole in one at the Masters and 10 questions with Josh Allen with Kyle Brandt. Always seems to give us some interesting fodder from these NFL players. We'll hear it coming up next, plus a chippy game between the Clippers and the Suns last night. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
And we remind you to watch the DA show each and every morning at watchda.com. That's mobile friendly if you so prefer. Or you can watch on Twitch. Go to CBS Sports Radio's channel on Twitch, and you can chat alongside other D-Aliens as you watch. We start at the Masters on the 16th hole. Here is Tommy Fleetwood, audio courtesy of the Golf Channel.
Oh, this one straight out, and then Mickelson in the hole! Tommy Fleetwood takes dead aim and makes a one.
Tommy!
You beauty!
Very cool. That is only the 23rd hole in one in Masters history, and it's Tommy Fleetwood yesterday. Cool to have the Masters back at the normal time. Cool to have it as kind of a harbinger of spring and summer. Feels good, doing well, some fans there, but nice to have the Masters back. But I really thought that the story of yesterday was Bryson DeChambeau, the scientist, imploding. He has become one of the most enjoyable implosion, most enjoyable guys to root against in all of sports. Because here's DeChambeau during the week.
The scientist.
He is studying all calculations, which quadrant to hit it onto, where exactly to place the golf ball, swing rate and speed and angle. I am out here with my compass and my Bunsen burner, making sure that I have all of these scientific measurements correctly before I swing this club. And yesterday, completely melts down. It's just great. Bogeys, double bogeys. That's the good stuff right there. Is the scientist pouring his green into his blue and it blowing up the entire laboratory.
Scientist.
Brian Bryson's case, the laboratory. Boom! Goes the experiment. Scientist.
Scientist.
Here is Ty Lue, head coach of the Los Angeles Clippers. Good game last night between the Clippers and the Suns. Had a playoff type of energy, some chippiness and physicality, and flagrant fouls and a Patrick Beverley ejection. This game had it all. Ty Lue, what'd you think?
You know, you're competing at a high level against one of the best teams in the league. Do what you got to do to win. And I thought our guys were physical. I thought we competed. I thought we fought. Just stayed the course, you know. And, it's going to be games like this where it's going to be chippy. You know, they're fighting for something. We're fighting for something. So it's going to happen. And, you know, I'm okay with it.
Glad I didn't hear any complaining about the officiating or complaining about how it was played, especially from the Clippers side. They won 113-103. It was all of the Clippers saying that the Suns started it. The Suns started it. Who cares? I just like the fact that the intensity is here a month before the end of the regular season between two teams that for many, many years have been kind of laughing stocks. The Clippers obviously have been more competitive recently, but still the Clippers haven't found themselves in a Western Conference Finals or NBA Finals, and so they've got a lot to prove. But these are two teams on the rise in the West. The Suns are the 2 seed right now. The Clippers are the 3 seed right now. And who knows? That would be a very tasty second-round matchup, would it not? I love the fact that you've got a Suns team right now that has turned around the trajectory of their franchise. They're hungry. They're young, outside of Chris Paul. They want to be respected, and they know taking on teams like the Clippers that have Paul George and Kawhi Leonard and a veteran-laden team is how you get there. So they are going to try to take the fight, and they're going to try to chirp, and they're going to try to trash talk. But ultimately, you still have to get the W as well. But I like the fact that I think that this NBA postseason is going to have some fun stories, new teams trying to break through, and some real animosity. I think that Clippers-Suns animosity is real. I think the animosity in the Eastern Conference is very real. The Nets, the Sixers, the Bucks, all of those teams are legitimately the type of teams that in the second round or conference finals will get into very emotional, aggressive series in my estimation. And finally, here's Bills quarterback Josh Allen, who joined Kyle Brandt for 10 questions. Kyle does a great job with this piece and this series. And Josh Allen weighs in on the franchise tag.
I don't think it's great for the team nor the player. And again, I need to do more research on it. But if you look at the guys that have been tagged in the past couple of years, as far as the quarterback position goes, it was Dak and Kirk Cousins. And at the end of the day, you can make the case that they should have just done the deal the year prior or the couple years prior. So it is what it is. At the end of the day, whatever happens, happens. And, it's not going to deter me from trying to be, like I said, the best quarterback for the Bills.
I've always said, if you're complaining about the franchise tag, complain to your union and stop complaining through the media. Because at the end of the day, this has been collectively bargained. And also, if you're complaining about getting paid as the top 3 or top 5 at your position, you better find something else to complain about. Because, as I've always said, look, I get it. You want long-term security. I get it in the NFL. There are injuries that take place that can end up derailing your career. But if the best thing you got to complain about is getting paid in the top 3 or the average of the top 3 in your position, there's got to be something else to complain about. There's got to be something else way worse in your life, way worse in your career than being paid as one of the top 3 or top 5 in the league at what you do. In the world, by the way, at what you do. And that is your sound check. It is a Target Demo Friday. We have yet to see what the Wizard of Watch DA Andrew Kaplan's meme is going to be for Target Demo Friday today, boys and girls. But when it drops, we will let you know. Mraz, I can only wonder if there's going to be an ostrich involved. I feel like if there is a way to define this week on the DA show, it would be yesterday's reenactment of the 1919 spaghetti eating competition between Ping Bodhi of the New York Yankees and Percy the Ostrich at spring training back in 1919 that we did yesterday.
I hate them all, but it's hard to imagine there was a bigger story that we covered this week on the DA show. Was the national championship game even this week? It's all Ping Brody and the Ostrich.
Ping Brody, not Brody, of course.
How could I forget? The Ostrich was obviously the biggest story of the week, but you never know what Dr. Doom has up his sleeve.
You never know, but if it doesn't involve an ostrich eating a stopwatch or face down in a plate of spaghetti, I think that he's missed. I think it's a big miss.
As he erases whatever he's worked on right now.
My wife was asking me about the ostrich story because she only heard me yelling about it in the other room. And she's like, I didn't hear the on-air version. So what was going on? And I said, oh, what you didn't hear was that there was old ragtime music being played in the background and we were reenacting a spaghetti competition from 100 years ago plus. But I started laughing and I'm like, gosh, Bogish had the line of the show yesterday when at the end of the show he's like, how can you make an ostrich go back out there to eat more spaghetti? If the ostrich doesn't want to eat the spaghetti, he's not going to eat the spaghetti, because part of the bit was this columnist wrote W.O. McGee, and the great W.O. McGee, and was like, they kept sending the bird out there and the trainer wouldn't throw in the towel, and the bird was swelling and the bird was wobbly and the bird eventually passed out, fell to his knees face first into the spaghetti. You know, it's like, yes, in competition, these fighters go out there, these boxers, you know, cut me, Mick. I want to keep competing. There's glory out there to be had. If the ostrich is uncomfortable with eating the spaghetti, he's just not going to eat the spaghetti. Turn and go somewhere else.
He doesn't know what we're saying.
What is the ostrich motivated by? He's just not hungry. He's not going to keep going out there for the glory of this competition. Like, if we try to get Rosie the cat to eat when she's not hungry or eat something that, God forbid, she doesn't like, she sniffs it and walks away. We can't just convince her, hey, it's the spirit of competition here, Rosie. We can't guilt her into, hey, we made this for you. You better eat it, Rosie. If she's not interested, she's not interested. If the ostrich doesn't like spaghetti in the fourth round, the ostrich is not going to eat spaghetti in the fourth round.
Ridiculous.
That was so funny. I was laughing recounting that. It's so true. Like, we're expecting this guy to be like, you know, this heavyweight champion, this Hagler Hearns duel to the death. Meantime, it's just like, if Hagler didn't want to fight anymore, he's like, I'm not interested. I'm done with this. I'm not hungry anymore, by the way. I'm just going to leave now and go back to
an ostrich.
I don't know if you guys have caught this. I don't get anything out of this. I don't need this. I'm an ostrich.
And I know that I'm talking. A little preview is out.
Excellent. Well, standing by is a kind sir, Andrew Bogish. He has our headlines this morning. Mr. Bogues, good morning.
Good morning, everyone. Almost everybody struggled in round one of the 85th Masters yesterday, only 12 breaking par. Justin Rose was one of them with ease, a 7-under-65 for a four-shot lead, but Rose was 2-over through 7 holes yesterday.
They're going to try and build a score.
Brian Harman and Hideki Matsuyama tied for second at 3-under. Jordan Spieth at -1. Dustin Johnson and Brooks Koepka at 2-over. Bryson DeChambeau at that 4-over yesterday. Rose tees off at 9:36 Eastern this morning. Clouds and some rain possible in Augusta today. NBA last night, after losing in Phoenix in OT on Wednesday, the Jazz were back at home to face the Blazers, and that one went better for them.
Donovan working on Powell, 5 on the clock. Donovan, through crosses over, step back, long two, tough looks, perfect. You gotta be kidding.
Unreal.
That is just an unnatural, unbelievable shot by Donovan
That's
Mitchell.
David Locke on Jazz Radio. Mitchell, 37 points as Utah extended its home win streak to 23, 122-103 over Portland. They have dropped 3 of 4. Those Suns lost to the Clippers in L.A., 113-103. Paul George and Kawhi Leonard combining for 60 points. Giannis was out again with a sore left knee, so the Bucks lost in Dallas, 116-101. Luka Doncic, 27 points, 9 rebounds, 9 assists. The Heat beat the shorthanded Lakers, 110-104 in Miami. And the Bulls beat the Raptors in Tampa, 122-113, 22 points apiece for Nikola Vucevic and Zach LaVine. Toronto has dropped 15 of 18. Two emergency hearings today revolving around the civil suits facing Deshaun Watson. His lawyer requested them as they argue over keeping Watson's accusers anonymous. Rusty Harden says that prevents them from building the best defense. One of the best things on the diamond yesterday, the lengthy standing ovation for Baltimore's Trey Mancini in his first home game since beating cancer.
We have the best fans in baseball here, and no matter what, they love us, and that showed today, and meant the world to me.
The O's, though, lost the Red Sox 7-3. The Astros beat the A's 6-2. The Angels a 7-5 win in 11 in Dunedin over the Blue Jays, and the White Sox blanked the Royals 6-0. Lance Lynn, the first complete game shutout of the season. Tommy John surgery has been recommended for Mariners lefty James Paxton. On ice last night, Nashville thumped Detroit 7-1. The Preds have won 9 of 10, and the Oilers beat the Senators 3-1 to sweep their 9-game season series. And at the men's Frozen Four, St. Cloud State beat Minnesota State 5-4. Then UMass upended Minnesota Duluth 3-2 in overtime. One of them wins their first national title tomorrow night. DA, back to you.
Excellent. How cool was that Trey Mancini standing ovation? Trey had dealt with colon cancer, had missed all of last season, had doubted whether he would ever be able to play baseball again, comes back. As we noted earlier in the week, he was momentous Monday subject. He had a great opening weekend just to come back and play baseball, but also had 3 RBIs over the weekend. And then in front of the home fans, getting the standing ovation. Trey Mancini is legit good people. He befriended Little Mo, and in Baltimore, obviously, Mo became a very, very big deal, was a super fan of the Orioles. He and Mancini connected. Mancini obviously diagnosed with colon cancer, and he and Mo legitimately bonded. They were really good friends. And I can tell you, when I went down there to visit Mo last summer, and I was talking to the family about how Mo was doing, and they said, oh, you just missed Trey. And I'm thinking that Trey is a cousin or a brother or a family member or a friend. Oh, cool. Well, yeah, Trey and Mo were just playing video games earlier. He just left. Oh, very, very cool. Found out that was Trey Mancini. He had just dropped by the house to play video games with Little Mo. So type of guy that he is, type of dude that he is. And I thought it was really cool yesterday that he got the standing ovation, which understandably so. What a great story that is in sports. When we come back here on the DA Show, speaking of baseball, that's a good story. How about a bad story? Trevor Bauer. He's all opinions. He's all social media. He's all YouTube. But he might also be all cheating. We'll get to that next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Yeah, you like that, big boy?
What else do you do?
I agree it's vague, and now that I'm going, I send the topics every night and morning. Look, I understand the way you're painting this broad brush that maybe I don't do a lot.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Maybe I don't do a lot. What a quote. Glad you're with us. Happy Friday, everybody. Thanks so much for spending some time with us. Each and every morning, we're here 6 until 10 Eastern Time, 3 until 7 Pacific, on the ever-expanding CBS Sports Radio Network. You can always listen to us on your phone. You can stream us using the CBS Sports app. A couple of weeks ago, they had done an update, and unfortunately, the stream option was not there anymore, but they've updated that, and so you're good. The newest version of the CBS Sports app will have you being able to play the DA Show and CBS Sports Radio in the mornings live. And then also use the Odyssey app. That's the former radio.com app. That obviously works great as well to listen to us each and every morning. Again, 6 until 10 Eastern Time, 3 until 7 Pacific. Billy in RVA sends me a meme. It's a picture of an ostrich with his head in the sand, and it says, if I don't want no spaghetti, I ain't interested no mo. Johnson, 12 of the shot clock, whips it around, left side, left elbow, shot is up, it's good. Winthrop leads by 6. If I don't want no spaghetti, I ain't interested no mo. can we get Super Dave next year and Mike Pacheco to work ostriches and spaghetti eating competitions into their play-by-play? I would assume so. Yeah. That's probably not that tough of a sell. Winthrop's coach Pat Kelsey left for Coastal Carolina, was it? No, it was... Oh, boy.
Oh.
It was in the state. I know that. It wasn't Coastal.
The College of Charleston.
College of Charleston. Well done. So if Winthrop...
And everybody's transferred. It'll be a tough time to It'll be really tough to repeat this year's success next year for the new crew down there.
Which will allow a lot of dead time and a lot of blowout losses for those two guys to get even more wacky. So stay tuned for Winthrop Eagles basketball next year. They'll basically be doing segments. It'll be like Champ and Chump in the second half. They'll be doing Target Demo Friday on the broadcast.
We're going to make the up-the-gut picks on their games.
You better bring your raincoat.
You're right. At tip-off, they start with Stunned to a News. By the time they get around to the play-by-play call, there's 5 minutes in. It's going to be a long year at Winthrop, maybe.
Now, wait a minute.
Rob the 321 tweets, the spaghetti contest reenactment has to be one of the 12 DAs. It was too damn funny, especially with the ragtime music behind the read. Thanks for the laughs. Hashtag 12 DAs of Christmas. Hashtag ostriches. We'll have to see if that makes the cut. But I have to say that playing ragtime music under any part of this show feels strangely appropriate. That we are basically a vaudeville act. I think that's what we came to the conclusion of yesterday. We're a turn-of-the-century vaudeville act. So Trevor Bauer has had a couple of his baseballs taken and inspected, sent to MLB offices for inspection. The pitcher for the Dodgers signed a $100 million three-year deal in the offseason, and in a 4-3 loss to the A's this week, he threw well, 6 2/3 in the loss, giving up only 3 hits and 2 runs with 10 strikeouts. That was his second start of the season. According to Ken Rosenthal at The Athletic, though, multiple balls that Bauer threw may have had foreign substances on them. So they have been brought to the umpire's attention on Wednesday. They were brought there, then sent to MLB offices for study. And it's interesting because the timing of this, MLB said during spring training it would start increasing enforcement of the rules that prohibit foreign substances on baseballs from pitchers. They were going to check this more often to make sure the pitchers were not doctoring baseballs. The first part of this is, why did baseball become lax in enforcing this? I mean, forever, it seemed like you couldn't doctor baseballs. That was the whole bit. So it's weird that suddenly baseball had to jump back up into doctoring, into enforcing the doctoring of baseballs, unless baseball saw all of the home runs being hit. And the fact was that they wanted to even the playing field a little bit. And they wanted to say, okay, since home runs are flying out at a crazy rate, we will help out the pitchers and kind of become lax on this. I don't know why that baseball would start turning a blind eye and now have to kind of jump back into the enforcement game. The flip side of this is that recently Trevor Bauer, after hearing baseball say we're going to enforce this more, of course took to YouTube because he can't not, and did a whole video on this, like a 20-minute video, and brought up some decent points, which were that how can you take a baseball out of play, send it to your authenticators, or punish a pitcher when that foreign substance can come from other places? He said it's illegal for us as pitchers to have foreign substances on our body, but it's not illegal for catchers to have foreign substances on, say, their shin guard. And it's not illegal for pine tar to be at the base of the bat for a hitter. So if the baseball hits that part of the bat where the pine tar is legal, that could be the foreign substance. So how are you really going to authorize or punish these types of infractions or not? And that's a fair point. My bigger point is, this is why I'm not interested in signing Trevor Bauer. It's that there's always something. Now, is it possible baseball heard Trevor Bauer, saw Trevor Bauer's video, and were like, you know what? He says he's going to bite back at us. We'll get retribution and check his baseballs. Certainly possible. Is it possible that Trevor Bauer is going to push the boundaries of legality because that's who Trevor Bauer is? Absolutely. And is it possible that because they know he's going to push the boundaries, they want to try to get a head start on punishing him? No question. My bigger point is this is why Trevor Bauer is one big headache, is that it's April 10th, April 9th, and we already have our first Trevor Bauer controversy. It's always something with this dude. And yes, he won the Cy Young Award last year in a 60-game schedule, by the way. But yes, he's a very good pitcher. But I don't ever think the juice is worth the squeeze on this guy because it is always something. I'm not saying that Trevor Bauer is the only guy that could be doctoring baseballs in Major League Baseball, is the only pitcher, what have you. No. My point is he's always at the center of some type of debate or aggressive argument or conflict. And even he took to Twitter and blasted baseball and said this, that, and the other thing, made fun of the league, made fun of the journalist, quote unquote, that reported this, Ken Rosenthal, who, by the way, is one of the most respected writers ever in baseball history. He blasted sources and clickbait and all of this stuff. It's always something, Mraz, with Trevor Bauer. And to me, it has just become exhausting with him.
It has to be mentally exhausting. And also now he makes his own fan base. Remember, he already teased the Mets fans with that merchandise pull, goes to the Dodger fans who embrace them. But now he makes them look like fools because this whole exhausting process he's got to go through. Well, the Dodger fans just flock to Anaheim to go throw garbage pails all over Houston. It's all the Dodgers have done is make fun of their fans, is bash the Astros for cheating, bash the Astros for cheating. They were getting along just fine. They signed Trevor Bauer, who they're trying to beloved, and within a week of the Major League Baseball starting, there's already an eyebrow raised about whether Trevor Bauer is cheating enough. So as if it's not exhausting enough to go through mentally having a Trevor Bauer on your team, I think it's doubly so if you're a Dodger fan now, because you have been basically at the forefront of fighting against cheating because you theoretically got screwed out of a World Series, and now you're going to have this hanging over your head and thrown back in your face.
Right. Dodgers fans have been whipped into a frenzy for 2 years now over losing the World Series to the Astros. And now, after being whipped into that frenzy, might have to deal with their own pitcher being caught cheating. It's just always something with Bauer, and it's annoying, and it's exhausting, and it's never not something. And it does make him one of the notable players in baseball, but to me, for all of the wrong reasons. He should be notable because he's a really good pitcher, because he won the Cy Young Award, not because he chopped up his hand with a drone, not because he told the Mets he was going to sign there and then printed T-shirts on his website for it and then took a walk and decided against it and took, oh, by the way, more money to go to Los Angeles, and then is caught in this friction with the league office over what's a doctored baseball and what isn't. It's always something, and you have to be really, really good. I mean, you have to be elite, like one of the best in baseball to me, to be able to be worth this, and you're not even an everyday player. You only affect your team once every 5 or 6 days. Is it worth having that type of nonsense surrounding you, and you only are out there 30 times a year?
And the Dodgers just won a World Series. It's not as if they needed Trevor Bauer to be the finishing piece. They were just fine. They finally won a World Series. And it's not like they signed Trevor Bauer and you know he's their best pitcher. He's still not. I'd still take Walker Buehler before I would take Trevor Bauer.
So yeah, Buehler's their ace.
Right, so why? The juice was never worth the squeeze for Trevor Bauer in a weekend. They're already dealing with this.
When we come back here on the show, let's start talking about the NFL draft. We're a couple of weeks away now, less than 3 weeks away. And we know the 5 quarterbacks that are likely to go in the first round, that will go in the first round. But now there's a 6th quarterback who is skyrocketing up draft charts from the middle round to the top 50. Who that is and why, next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.